الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ما بعد، we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Allah to exalt, dimension, and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We continue with the tafsir of Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah number 96 particularly. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. أحل لكم صيد البحر وطعامه متاعا لكم وللسيارة وحرم عليكم صيد البر ما دمتم حرما واتقوا الله الذي إليه تحشرون. The interpretation of the meaning in English reads, lawful to you is game from the sea and its food as provision for you and the travelers. But forbidden to you is game from the land as long as you are in the state of ihram. And fear Allah to whom you will be gathered. Shaykh Abdurrahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah says in commenting on this ayah, وَلَمَّا كَانَ الصَّيْدُ يَشْمَرُ الصَّيْدَ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ اِسْتَثْنَى تَعَالَى الصَّيْدَ الْبَحْرِ. When hunting usually involves both land and sea, when you say hunting, right, that can include fishing. It includes it. Of course, fishing is a more particular term, but you're hunting for something to eat. Whether it is spear fishing or with a rod, or as some people with their hand. Some people will straight up catch a fish with their hand, like that catfish. In Southern America, in the South, you have these people who have a trick. They put something in their hand and they go to some freshwater river and they keep their hand in the water for some time and they have the bait in their hand. And then you see this on YouTube. A minute later, he pulls out his arm with a huge catfish, man, and its mouth is all over. He swallowed half of his arm. And they take it out, and they're just celebrating, like nothing's happening, and pull his hand out. يعني عادي. Because maybe the catfish doesn't have sharp teeth, so it only has a grip with a jaw, but it is not something that is going to cut his arm. Or they may wear a glove, a kind of glove like the one they wear with the dogs. Whatever the case may be, this is normal. Then this is a form of hunting. So people actually use various ways to get fish. Huh? Filipinos are experts in that. You put him out there at the shore, he comes out with an octopus, mashallah, tabarakallah, 15 kilos. Next thing you know, he has a shark. Ya aminta, where are you getting all this stuff from? Now we're right there at the shore, there's nothing. Don't ask. Huh? Go with them once and you'll see what I'm saying. Tayyib. So now, when that included both kinds of hunting, Allah Azza wa Jal exempted the sea hunting. So if you're in ihram, can you go fishing? Yes. Alhamdulillah. Istathna ta'ala sayd al-bahri. It's an exception. فَقَالَ أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ صَيْدُ الْبَحْرِ وَطَعَامُهُ. Then the hunting of the ocean, the sea, and the food, halal for you. أي أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ فِي حَالِ إِحْرَامِكُمْ صَيْدَ الْبَحْرِ. Meaning in that state of ihram. وَهُوَ الْحَيِّ مِنْ حَيَوَانَاتِ وَطَعَامِهُ وَهُوَ الْمَيِّتُ مِنْهَا. And that includes both live and dead. We as Muslims are not allowed to eat dead animals, right? Right or wrong? If you were walking or driving by and you saw a dead sheep, can you take it and slaughter it and say, and eat? Type. If you saw a dead fish?
Yes, we can.
Yes, you can. And what else? There's another thing which is allowed for us to eat dead.
Locust.
Dead fish. Locust, correct. Two things which are lawful for Muslims even if they're dead. Fish. Huh? Or the ocean, the sea animals, and locust. Locust. Now, many people don't eat locust even if it were yani, freshly captured. Right? But here in Saudi, this is a. Have you seen? There's a season when these locusts become available. They sell them in the black market for crazy prices. Crazy. Over a couple of thousand riyals for a small bag of locust. It's a very, yani it's a delicacy, and it's a very famous meal. taste, you know.
How big they are, you understand?
Yeah, they're pretty big. I'll pass if you ever invite me to a dinner with locusts. I'll just simply watch you eat it. I'll have a cup of tea. Hey. فَدَلَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى حِلِّ مَيْتَةِ الْبَحْرِ. Anyways, that indicates the lawfulness of the dead of the sea. مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِلسَّيَّارَةِ أي الفائدة في إباحتي لكم أنه لأجل انتفاعكم وانتفاع رفقتكم الذين يسيرون معكم. The benefit of all of that is for your benefit and the benefit of the people who may be with you. وحرم عليكم صيد البر صيد البر ما دمتم حرما. And unlawful for you is the hunting of the land as long as you are in the Sayyid of Ihram. ويؤخذ من لفظ الصيد أنه لا بد أن يكون وحشيا لأن الإنسي ليس بصيد. And we take from the term صيد hunting is that that which you're hunting has to be wild. It has to be a wild animal. Because that which is like a domesticated is not considered hunting. Is not considered hunting. وَمَأْكُولًا فَإِنَّ غَيْرَ الْمَأْكُولَ لَا يُصَاد وَلَا يُطْلَقْ عَلَى اسْمِ الصَّيْد. And it has to be edible. If it is not edible, you can neither call it hunting nor do you use the term that this is a game, because it's not edible. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ أي تَقُوهُ بِفِعْلِ مَا أَمَرَ بِهِ وَتَرْكِ مَا نَعَنْ. Fear Allah by doing what He commanded and staying away from what He forbade. وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ وَاسْتَعِينُوا عَلَى تَقْوَاهِ بِعِلْمِكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. And seek aid in the taqwa of Allah by remembering that to Him you will be gathered. فَيُجَازِيكُمْ. Then He will recompense you. هَلْ قُمْتُمْ بِتَقْوَاهِ فَيُثِيبُكُمُ الثَّوَابَ الْجَزِيلِ. Did you fulfill His taqwa? So He will give you the amazing or the tremendous reward. أَمْ لَمْ تَقُومُوا بِهِ فَيُعَاقِبُكُمْ. Or you did not fulfill that, so you will be punished. Then we go back to the next ayah 97. جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْكَعْبَةَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامَ قِيَامًا لِلنَّاسِ الناس والشهر الحرام والهدي والقلائد ذلك لتعلموا أن الله يعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وأن الله بكل شيء عليم. The interpretation of the meaning in English is Allah has made the Kaaba, the sacred house, standing for the people and has sanctified the sacred months and the sacrificial animals and the garlands by which they are identified. That is so you may know that Allah knows what is in the heavens and what is in the earth, and that Allah is knowing of all things. The Shaykh says, rahimahullah, يُخْبِرُ تَعَالَى أَنَّهُ جَعَلَ الْكَعْبَةَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامَ قِيَامًا لِلنَّاسِ يَقُومُ بِالْقِيَامِ بِتَعْظِيمِهِ دِينُهُمْ وَدُنْيَاهُمْ. What does that mean? It means that Allah Azza wa Jal has made this Kaaba, the sacred house, means for the people to be honored and to remain upright if they were to maintain His house. يعني you do qiyam for the Kaaba, then Allah will allow the qiyam to be in your dunya and your deen. Qiyam here is uprightness, rectification, maintenance, so on and so forth. فَبِذَلِكَ يَتُمُّ إِسْلَامُهُمْ. With that, their Islam can be fulfilled. وَبِهِ تُحَطُّ أَوْزَارُهُمْ. And with that, their sins will be shed. وَتَحْصُلُ لَهُمْ بِقَصْدِ الْعَطَايَ الْجَزِيلَ. And due to that, they will get the tremendous rewards. وَالْإِحْسَانُ الْكَثِيرُ. And the excellent excellence. وَبِسَبَبِهِ تُنْفَقُ الْأَمْوَالُ وَتَنْقَحِمْ مِنْ أَجْلِهِ الْأَهْوَالِ. And because of it, much money is spent. صح? Look at Hajj right now. How much money is spent for the people to travel from their respective countries to come all the way here, between airline tickets and accommodation and food consumption and. From the magnitudes of people who come, how much money is spent just to go to the Kaaba? That's wild. If you think about it, that's pretty wild. That's a lot of money. A lot of money. And because of it, a lot of wilderness. People go through all kinds of expeditions to make it here. Of course, nowadays it has been overly simplified. You know, you book a first-class flight, huh? And you come here drinking, you know, Pepsi and orange juice, and you land in a hotel, five-star hotel across from the Haram. You go down the elevator, you pray, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. A lot of effort is being exerted. Go back, you know, a few hundred years and see what the people had to do. Go back before the transportation, the modern transportation which we have, airplanes and so on and so forth. And imagine someone who had to come from India or Pakistan or Russia or somewhere all the way to the Kaaba. What did they have to go through and what means of transportation? Horse, donkey, whatever, camel. Yeah, any hardship upon hardship, subhanAllah. Now it's something else. وَيَجْتَمِعُ فِيهِ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ جَمِيعُ أَوْ يَجْتَمِعُ فِيهِ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ جَمِيعُ أَجْنَاسِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And from every wild and far place gathered, there are Muslims from every single background, all kinds of Muslims. فَيَتَعَارَفُونَ وَيَسْتَعِينَ بَعْضُهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ. So they get to know each other and they aid each other. وَيَتَشَاوَرُونَ عَلَى الْمَصَالِحِ الْعَامَّةِ. And they discuss common benefits. وَتَنْعَقِدُ بَيْنَهُمْ الرَّوَابِطِ فِي مَصَالِحِهِمْ الدِّينِيَّةِ وَالدُّنْيَوِيَّةِ. And they establish ties between them, religious ties and worldly ties. قال تعالى ليشهدوا منافع لهم ويذكروا اسم الله في أيام معلومات على ما رزقهم من بهيمة الأنعام. So that they may witness benefit for them. And so they may mention the name of Allah in numbered or known days due to what He has blessed them of the livestock. ومن أجل كون البيت قياما للناس. And because the house is a place for people to be, you know, for the people to look after. قال من قال من العلماء إن حج بيت الله فرض كفاية في كل سنة. Some of the ulama said that the Hajj to the house of Allah is a communal obligation on yearly basis. What does that mean? Who can interpret that statement of the ulama? Bismillah.
Someone has to do a Hajj, at least from every community. Someone has to do a Hajj.
Exactly. When you say fard ayn, ayn like ayn, huh? It's a personal, individual obligation. Each single Muslim has to do it. Hello? Fard kifaya is a communal obligation from community. If a group of people fulfill it, the rest are... What is the word you should use now? There's a better word. No, there's a better word. Absolved? Right? The rest are absolved of the obligation. يعني يسقط عنهم. It's no longer obligatory on them. It's removed off of them. صح? If a group of them. So they're saying some of the ulama from each community, some have to go. If nobody from that community goes, they're all sinful. أيوة. فلو ترك الناس حجه لإثم لأثم كل قادر. But this is for who? For those who have the ability. For those who have the ability. Those will be the sinful one. Not the ones who are unable. It's not their fault that their neighbors didn't go. And they cannot afford to go, so they become sinful because the neighbors didn't go. Huh? But for each able, capable person who doesn't go, sinful. بل لو ترك الناس حجه لزال ما به قوامهم. If the people stop doing hajj, all of that, the reason why Allah Azza wa Jalla is maintaining them will be taken away from them. وقامت القيامة. And it would be the end of time. The resurrection. It would have been the resurrection. Because towards the end of time, the Kaaba would be what? Would be what? Dismantled. It'll be demolished. The Kaaba. Hajar, hajar. Stone by stone. It'll be broken down. Huh? As a hadith, speaking of the end of time, clearly explained. وقوله والهدي والقلائد أي وكذلك جعل الهدي والقلائد التي أشرف أنواع الهدي قياما للناس. Similarly, the same applies to the animals which are given as a gift for in the haram for someone's hajj and so on and so forth. قياما للناس ينتفعون بهما ويثابون عليهما. So the people benefit from the slaughtering of these animals in terms of يعني making money. Those who are selling the animals make money. And those who are being fed, they're being fed from the animals. وَيَثَابُونَ عَلَيْهَا. And you're given ajr, you're rewarded for that. ذلك لتعلموا أن الله يعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وأن الله بكل شيء عليم. فمن علمه أن جعل لكم هذا البيت الحرام لما يعلمه من مصالحكم الدينية والدنيوية. Part of that knowledge of Allah, who knows everything in the heavens and the earth and knows everything, is that He made this Kaaba. Because of His knowledge, He made this Kaaba, which He knows that has benefits for you both in the deen and the dunya. In the deen and the dunya. And as much as I would like to elaborate on that, but I'll give you personal examples. Many of the blessings which Allah Azza wa Jal has given me personally as a Muslim, the source of that was Al-Haram. Yani in that area, there were life-changing events in my life. I'm not going to elaborate, you know, because it's not irrelevant to you what is personal to me. But as an example, as a live example, someone speaking about this ayah, in my case, I see the manifestation of that. The worldly and the worldly, because the ayah mentions, or the shaykh is interpreting as worldly benefits and religious benefits. In both cases, these sacred locations have had some big stuff, alhamdulillah. So don't deprive yourself يعني, of going there whenever you're able to do so. اعلموا, the next ayah, اعلموا أن الله شديد العقاب وأن الله غفور رحيم. طيب. Know that Allah is severe in punishment and that Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. Now this ayah occurs elsewhere in the Quran, but differently. Who knows? Where does this ayah occur with a similar message but differently in the Quran? Mashi. Hello. But the one I have in mind is different. I believe it's Surah Al-Hijr. نبئ عبادي أني أنا الغفور الرحيم وأن عذابي هو العذاب الأليم. Huh? But you see, it's the other way around. Allah says, inform my slaves that it is indeed I who is the most forgiving, the most merciful, and that my punishment is the most painful punishment. Hello? So in the other ayah, Allah began with the fact that He is forgiving and merciful, and then He mentioned that He is severe in punishment. In this ayah, know that Allah is severe in punishment and that Allah is forgiving and merciful. Do you think this is random or deliberate? The fact that the sequence has changed. Do you think there's a wisdom behind it? Absolutely. Absolutely. Without even thinking. And if you were to go back to the tafsir, I'm just making this assumption based on knowing how the ulama deal with this. If you were to go back to the tafsir, the detailed tafsir, you will find that they will mention to you based on the context why Allah began in this ayah with the fact that He is severe in punishment, then He mentioned the maghfirah, and why in the other ayah it was the other way around. The context or the occasion, asbab al-nuzul, the relevance or the reason behind the revelation of this ayah, the context of revelation, will have something to do with why Allah began with one over the other. It is not random. There's a wisdom behind it. The Shaykh said, أَيْ لِيَكُنْ هَذَانِ الْعِلْمَانِ مَوْجُودَيْنِ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْجَزْمِ وَالْيَقِينِ. Let these two pieces of knowledge be present in your heart with in a manner in which you are certain and confident about them. تَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ الْعَاجِلُ وَالْآجِلُ عَلَى مَنْ عَصَهِ. You know that Allah is severe in punishment both now and later. Now and later for the one who disobeys Him. وَأَنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ إِلَيْهِ وَأَطَاعَ. And that He is forgiven and merciful to the one who repents to Him and obeys Him. فَيُثْمِرُ لَكُمْ هَذَا الْعِلْمُ الْخَوْفَ مِنْ عِقَابِهِ. This knowledge will generate for you the fear of His punishment. So you say, I don't want to get punished by Allah, so I better calm down and act right. Huh? Straighten myself out. And will also drive you and generate in you hope that Allah will forgive you and will reward you. وَتَعْمَلُونَ عَلَى مَا يَقْتَضِيهِ الْخَوْفُ وَرَجَاءَ. And then you will act accordingly to what both hope, fear and hope necessitate. And that's why the ulama said, the believer, when he travels to Allah, is like a bird. Is like a bird. The head of the bird is love, huh? And the right wing is hope, and the left wing, for example, is fear. And you fly. If you have, like the Sufis, they only have a head. They only have a head, which is what they claim to be love. And they lost the other two wings, you will not even fly. And the Sufis, there's a book, famous book, that this creature called Ali Jumu'ah, which is the Mufti of Egypt. The Mufti of Egypt, he has some fantastic sessions on YouTube, which I wish you could hear if you only knew Arabic, where he's reading from the book, a book about, I'm trying to remember the name of the book. Anyways, it's about the karamat, huh, of the Sufis, the awliya, the so-called awliya. One of them, now he's reading this book to a crowd of Muslims. Huh? This is the Mufti of Egypt. One of the stories in the book is about Ibrahim al-Aryan. Ibrahim, his name is Ibrahim al-Aryan. كان يخطب الجمعة عريانا. He used to give the khutbah sermon butt naked. Naked. And he was very funny. That khatib, his name is Ibrahim al-Aryan. Ibrahim the naked. And he used to give the khutbah naked. And he would give khutbah in multiple masajid at the same time. So when the people would meet, would say, who was your khatib? They would say, Ibrahim al-Aryan. They say, how is that? He was also our khatib. And the other person from a third masjid would say, he was also our khatib. And the people sitting there, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, MashaAllah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Huh? Majaneen wallahi. Another one, يعني, I'm ashamed to tell you the stories. He said, this is from the awliya of Allah. He didn't leave anything that he did not have relations with. If he saw a donkey in the street, he will tell his friend to hold on to the donkey so he can finish his business with him and then move on. This is wali from the awliya of Allah. Another one went into the room, huh? Committing zina with a prostitute. And his murid, huh? His student, was waiting outside for him. As soon as he finished, he told him, Bawlana, here's your water so you can make ghusl. You can make ghusl. Maybe you want to catch salah. Huh? You want to catch salah after you commit zina? So I brought you the water so you can be ready for salah afterwards. And he's not allowed to question him. He said, maybe you were doing something else with the lady. Yani, maybe you weren't doing anything. Maybe you were special. Whatever. This is the kind of garbage that is found in books. Imagine a book, a huge volume, couple of volumes maybe. Hundreds of pages. Wallahi, all of it is some yani, ludicrous stories like this, which the Sufis narrate onto their students, and they learn that this is the wilaya. Wilaya doesn't mean you have to fear Allah. Huh? You could commit zina, he's a wali. You see him drinking alcohol, he would say, maybe it's Pepsi. I cannot assume that this is alcohol. I give the sheikh the benefit of the doubt. Even if he saw him drunk and it smells like alcohol, still he has to assume the best about his sheikh. So this kind of stuff is prevalent. Prevalent in some communities. And in Sri Lanka, sorry about that, but recently in Sri Lanka, they've been made this organization called Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And wallahi, they have nothing to do with Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Anyways, their business is to criticize all of the speakers of today whom they've labeled Wahhabi. From Mufti Meng to myself to Bilal Phillips. And they make videos of their sheikh, huh, who Allah knows who he is, Mawlana, I don't know, Fazl, Bazl, Mazl, Mazl, against them. No, everybody, they have Nazim and other than Nazim. So even some young shabab. About, you know, the permissibility of saying, Ya Rasulullah, and I don't know what, and that the fact that you go to Hajj, you have to do ziyarah to the grave, and if you don't do ziyarah, ya Sheikh, yani, waste of time. And they're targeting people whom they've labeled as Wahhabis, and they became Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. These are English-speaking people, along with their native language, and these are on YouTube. They have channels and they have viewers, and then you can read the comments of the people who are in agreement with this garbage. I'm giving you live examples of real calamities in the Ummah. So you won't think this is somewhere else. This is here, in Arabic world, the Arabic world, and the English world, everywhere. Everywhere. So the bottom line is, and I don't know how we got here. Anyway, so the Sufi only goes for the head, which he claims to be love. This whole fear business and anything is يعني سقط عنه. Some of them said he stopped praying. And Wali from the Awliya of Allah supposedly, he stopped praying. They said, "Ya Shaykh, why did you stop praying?" He said, "Because Allah said, wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqin." Huh? And waqad atani al-yaqin. Allah says in the Quran, "Worship your Lord until yaqeen comes to you." Now the scholars agree that yaqeen in this ayah means death. And he interpreted the ayah as what? Yaqeen is what? Certainty. He said, "I reached a level of certainty. I am one with Allah. You want me to pray?" Khalas, the praying is for young people like you who haven't reached in that level of wilaya like me. Ya Sheikh, yani things that are unbelievable. They are real. They are real. So when we speak about the Sufis and people get all sensitive and upset, don't be sensitive and upset. We know that there are among them those who are not at that level. No doubt, no doubt. Some of them are working on getting there. They're not there yet. But once you take that path, it will eventually take you there. That's just the way the shaitan works. So once you hear Sufi, run away. Nothing to be entertained about. So then we have fear, hope, and then love, which is the head. For a safe arrival in Jannah. Inshallah. Ayah 99. مَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا تَكْتُمُونَ What happened here? نعم. Not upon the messenger is responsibility except for notification. And Allah knows whatever you reveal and whatever you conceal. نعم. وَقَدْ بَلَّغَ كَمَا أَمَرْ وَقَامَ بِوَظِيفَتِهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did he convey as he was commanded? Yes or no?
Yes.
Who can give me an evidence? Give me an evidence from the Sunnah about this particular concept. And we've discussed this in the book Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah. For those who recollect. Aywa. What happened?
He asked the Sahaba.
Aywa. What did he ask them? Aywa. And they said?
They
said
yes.
Now, how many times?
Three times.
In Hajjat al-Wada', the farewell pilgrimage, the only one of the Prophet ﷺ before he died. And during that biggest gathering of Sahaba, over 100,000 Sahabi, 100,000 Sahabi were present. And he addressed all of them saying, Ala hal ballaght? Have I not conveyed? Qalu bala. They said yes. Qala Allahumma ishhad. Allahumma ishhad. Oh Allah, bear witness. And this is from the evidences of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah about the fact that Allah is above the creation. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying, Oh Allah, he was looking at the sky and pointing with his finger to the sky. And then saying, Oh Allah, bear witness to what these people are saying that I have conveyed the message. If Allah were everywhere, as the Ash'aris and others claim, then he should have said, Oh Allah, bear witness, seriously. Or he would have looked down or up or somewhere. Up, obviously, not. But the fact that he chose up, alayhi salatu salam, khalas. Don't debate with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what he did. So, that's, and it's a natural, we said, remember we said there are five ways to prove Allah's transcendence? One of them is fitrah. Fitrah, the natural disposition. Everybody who makes dua, what do they do? Look at the average Muslim and non-Muslim. I will, subhanAllah, I don't watch television, but I know that, nor do I watch a whole match of some game, okay? But I like highlights. I like to watch highlights. The goals that the people scored or the baskets they made or whatever, as long as the cheerleaders are not there. Huh? When the cheerleaders come, then you just have to turn it off. But I was looking at the goals. Whenever they have these soccer matches, almost every single shooter, whatever you call him, who makes a goal, look at him after he's done. As he scores a goal when he's done, yani he's thanking God. Huh? He's a Christian, he's a Jew, Allahu a'lam what he is. But you will find that they either make that cross, like the Christians, and then they look up to the sky. Even the kafir, deep down, knows that the Lord which he's worshipping, whoever that Lord is above. Because in his fitrah, when Allah created him, this was already, you know, configured by default. It was already there. And that's why when a disaster strikes, naturally you look up and you raise your hands. You cannot help it. At the time of calamity, you cannot help it. You don't even have to think. Even those who believe that Allah is everywhere, you find them going like this. Khalas, then don't fight what you know is right. It's a good one, huh? I'm not rapping, by the way. But this one came out not bad. Don't fight what you know is right. Khair, inshallah, should be the lecture of the next, the title of the next lecture or khutbah. So anyways, وَمَا سِوَ ذَلِكَ فَلَيْسَ لَهُ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ نعم. So after that, he has nothing else to do, عليه الصلاة والسلام. He does not control anything else. He just conveys the message of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا تَكْتُمُونَ Allah knows what you reveal and what you hide. And conceal فَيُجَازِيكُمْ بِمَا يَعْلَمُهُ تَعَالَ مِنْكُمْ So Allah will reward you according to what He knows of you. أيوة. قل لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث فاتقوا الله يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تفلحون Say, not equal are the evil and the good. Although the abundance of evil might impress you. SubhanAllah, it's a very important ayah. Pay attention. Not equal are the evil and the good, although the abundance of evil might impress you. So fear Allah, O you of understanding, that you may be successful. The Shaykh said, Rahimahullah, أَيْقُلْ لِلنَّاسِ مُحَذِّرًا مِنَ عَنِ الشَّرِّ وَمُرَغِبًا فِي الْخَيْرِ Say to the people as means of warning them against evil and as means of encouraging them towards good. لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ Never are they equal, the evil and the good. مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ Of everything. فَلَا يَسْتَوِي الْإِيمَانُ وَالْكُفُرُ Iman and disbelief are unequal. وَلَا الطَّاعَ وَالْمَعْصِيَةِ Obedience and disobedience are unequal. وَلَا أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ وَأَهْلُ النَّارِ The people of Jannah and the people of Nar are unequal. Huh? لَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ لَا يَسْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ وَلَا الْأَعْمَالُ الْخَبِيثَةُ وَالْأَعْمَالُ الطَّيِّبَةُ The evil deeds and the good deeds are unequal. وَلَا الْمَالُ الْحَرَامُ بِالْمَالِ الْحَلَالِ And the unlawful wealth versus the lawful wealth are unequal. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ Even if the evil seemed nice to you, even if you were impressed by its abundance, a lot of kufr versus a little bit of iman, even though there's a lot, don't be impressed by the lot. A lot of kufr, you say, أخي, everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it, yani you might be as well. Don't be impressed by the abundance of people doing wrong. Look at the minority who are doing right. Same thing goes for wealth. Same thing goes for wealth. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَنْفَعُ صَاحِبَهُ شَيْئًا It will not benefit its owner in anything. كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ will not benefit. بَلْ يَضُرُّهُ فِي دِينِهِ وَدُنْيَهِ Rather, it will harm him in his deen and his dunya. It will harm that person in his deen and his dunya. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ So fear Allah, O people of understanding, so you may be successful. فَأَمَرَ أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ أَيْ أَهْلُ الْعُقُولِ الْوَافِيَةِ وَالْآرَاءِ الْكَامِلَةِ The people of يعني, complete or let's say sound intellect and upright opinions. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُوَجِّهِ إِلَيْهِمُ الْخِطَابِ Allah is addressing them directly. وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ يُؤْبَهُ لَهُمْ And it is those who you should even, the only people who deserve that you care for anyways. وَيُرْجَى أَنْ يَكُونَ فِيهِمْ خَيْرًا And it is hope that they have good in them. ثُمَّ أَخْبَرَ أَنَّ الْفَلَاحَ مُتَوَقِّفٌ عَلَى التَّقْوَى الَّتِي هِيَ مُوَفَّقَةُ اللَّهِ فِي أَمْرِ وَنَهْيِ Then Allah mentioned that success is conditional and proportional to taqwa, which is the being in agreement with His commandments and staying away from His prohibitions. ف فمن اتقاه أفلح كل الفلاح. So whoever has taqwa of him, he will attain the greatest success. ومن ترك تقواه حصل الخسران وفاته الأرباح. And whoever abandons taqwa, he will achieve loss and he will miss out on a lot of gains. And this actually ayah applies specifically to those who like to go and finish their education in Western countries. Yeah? Specifically from among the people who are residing in Muslim countries. And those who are born and raised in their country, that's a whole other discussion about whether they're able to do hijrah or not and how feasible that is for them and so on and so forth. That's another discussion. But in terms of Muslims who are living in Muslim countries or let's say predominantly Muslim countries or even minority, but there's a peace of mind in their area, it's Islamic, there's an Islamic culture, there's an Islamic يعني, awareness, and then they choose to go and send their children to some university somewhere in Nottingham or somewhere in Los Angeles or somewhere, huh, to finish their education, and they all the same justification as yahi, but you know the degree and the education and the qualification for the future and blah blah blah. You can quote this ayah, say they're not equal. Al khabith wa tayyib. Even though the abundance of evil may appear impressive to you, you may be impressed by that the better degrees and better blah 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 blah. But at the end of the day, it is not as good. And it is not impressive as a tayyib, which is having a peace of mind. يعني, we're not saying be uneducated, and we're not saying abandon seeking of the knowledge, whether it is the worldly or the religion, but by Allah's grace, now we have alternatives. يعني, there are some universities where distance learning is equivalent to being physically there. Even on the degree which they issue, to the graduate, there's no mention of distance learning anyways. No mention. As if the person actually learned there. So the whole thing is becoming more feasible for you to actually finish your whole education online. You buy the books or you print the books and you study and you write reports and you write essays and your thesis and whatever and synopsis and all the stuff. You can do all this online. And send it to the mudir, professor, and you don't have to sit next to a wonderful creature from the daughters of Adam next to you all the time you're learning. Because there's not a lot of learning you can do there. Yeah? Unless you're some weird guy. If you're not a weird guy, you have a problem. It's inconceivable that someone's going to be sitting in a classroom with a bunch of ladies and he just doesn't care. Oh, I'm focusing on physics now. Come on, man. This is against the fitrah of men. It's against the way Allah created us. It's impossible. You may contain yourself for some time. No doubt, that's not that you're an animal. You're just going to jump on the girls in the class. But you're going to tell me you won't have a problem down the line? Psh. Yeah, right. I'm not going to give you graphic examples. But the bottom line is, it's a trap. Huh? So for those who have children and they want them to learn, yeah, Shaykh, have mercy on them. Keep them close to you and have them learn, even if that university is lesser in terms of ranking than, I don't know what university, Oxford or whatever, but at least you protect that person's religion, your son's religion, your daughter's religion. You protect them from the fitna. And if they don't graduate, psh, inshallah, they never graduate. But they enter Jannah at the end, or they become doctors or architects or whatever, and then they go to Jahannam. Yani, what is the benefit? Ma, you have to weigh it out properly. Huh? So don't be impressed by the abundance of evil. It doesn't do it. It doesn't cut the job. Then the next ayah, or should we stop? Let's stop, because Dr. Yahya has been coming somewhat on time. And I know he likes to give you guys a break before you guys resume. Plus, this is quite a lengthy ayah. So with this, we conclude the dars. Hada wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Ahlan wa sahlan.